Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yes, that's going to be the call for Bob Walk from now on. One of the greatest calls we've ever seen on this show. Bob Walk, we're over at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Bob doesn't live too far from here. He was on a shopping trip and decided to stop by just like he did last year. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Can't stay too long. Like I said, I got milk in the in the truck, but
it's
oh,
a
by the way,
day.
This will surprise you. I did not get a turkey. I don't know why, but
really,
with a call like that, I think that should have been all over.
Russ Grimm called it a sick turkey call, but you know.
That's what I was looking for, ones that were easy to catch. You know, you try to thin the herd. You know, you go after the sick ones.
Did you come close?
No, we didn't.
Did you see any?
Hear or see anything? I think it was we. My son, who's the turkey hunter of the family, he took me to a place where he's always had good luck and gotten turkeys. But it's always like the very first week of turkey season, right? You know, the very first week of the month of May. And this is like the last 2 days of May. And I think they were all done doing what they like to do and were gone.
So yeah, maybe they caught on to what was happening and cleared down.
Try it next May at the beginning
of
the month.
Obviously, if there would have been a turkey around and he heard that, he would have been there.
We are kicking off the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. We got the boot right up here on the table. You could step right up, say hello to everybody here, and contribute. As Bob just did. Very, very nicely, Bob did. All right, Bob. Let's start with Friday night's game and the idea of challenging calls, the idea of robot umps, and everything that happened with that last call on Henry Davis. What did you think?
Well, it was definitely a ball. I mean, if you're going by the that was out of the strike zone. If it would have been spring training, he'd have tapped his helmet. It would have been switched and ball four. So, since they have that technology and they've already proven that, you know, how they can use it and how it doesn't really affect the game in a negative way, you know, the challenge system they have for, you know, out and safe kind of gets me going a little bit sometimes when we're sitting around and waiting and waiting and waiting. But this is, at least in spring training, was extremely quick. It's boom, boom. Now, if it was me to make the decision, I would just say, you know, put the same ear thing that the pitcher and catcher have in the umpire's ear and let the computer either say ball or strike.
So you want it for all pitchers?
Oh, yeah, why not? If you're going to do it, you know, why even have the challenge thing? But if they want the challenge thing, if they think that that's better for whatever reason, I know that there's an argument for it, argument that I don't agree with, but whatever. Go for that, but it's there, and now we can quit arguing about whether that was a ball or that was a strike. Now, some people say, well, it's not exactly, perfectly accurate. It's like maybe like 1% off. It's like I think somebody said sometimes it can be as much as a half an inch off. And I said, well, if you know that, then whatever system you have that told you that, then let's use that one then. That doesn't make any sense to me. How do they know it's a half inch off? What system's telling them it was a half inch off?
So, that's a good point.
Yeah, so let's use that. I don't buy into that argument for that reason.
But mostly, if they're going to do it, they'll probably integrate the challenge system first before they go full bore here, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, well, they've used it both ways in the minor leagues.
So you can see them next year maybe deciding after all of these calls, because it wasn't just that call. That was egregious. But
we'll watch a game tonight anywhere you want. Yeah. Pirates aren't playing tonight. Watch anything. You'll see missed calls. But there's always been missed calls in the game, but now we put the box up there and show everybody, look at this. This, you know.
Do you like the box? Or do you think it should just be the way it was before and it's, you know, because some of those calls are very close. They're right on the edge.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm the old way. I wish we were still National League, American League. I like a lot of things that were going on in the 60s and 70s in baseball that I loved, and we can't even sniff that anymore. I'd like to see a shortstop put on his backside occasionally when there's a double play being turned. There's a lot of stuff that we can get into a big discussion about that takes hours. And I am for, like, turning the clock back a long ways. But what I want is never going to happen. So reality is it is what it is, and the box is there. Everybody sees it every night. So let's call what the box says it is.
When you pitched, did you know on a given night by who the umpire was?
Oh, sure.
How it was going to go?
I'd rather know that than who we were playing. Okay, that would tell me whoever the – you know, you're around a little bit, and you're playing just National League teams. You have just National League umpires. The league is only two divisions. You know, there's not that many teams. You're seeing the same guys over and over again. You learn the plate umpires as well as you learn the hitters. And that was a big deal to me. I knew, you know, if the night was going to be easy or hard or, you know, if I had to wait a little bit, make sure you don't ever react to a call you don't like. And wait for a hitter to react, because then the hitters are going to get in trouble, we'll say, all night long. You know, so yeah, there were things that you would do depending on who the umpire was and how they like to call the balls and strikes.
You ever get thrown out on balls and strikes argument?
On balls and strikes, no. I've gotten thrown out probably three or four times, but never on balls and strikes.
What would it be that triggered you?
Usually throwing at people. Well, I would get thrown out for. I think I got thrown out for getting a balk called on me at second base. I didn't get called out for the argument. I got called out because I punted my glove about 40 feet into the air in the middle of the diamond, and then the umpire was saying no Bob, no, and then I went ahead and did it, and then he goes, hey, you're gone.
How hard could you throw a baseball right now if I gave you a couple weeks to ramp up?
My shoulder is all ripped up. I messed it up this spring, in February. I couldn't throw a ball from here to that white car out there right now. Mm. Before that, I could probably throw the ball, I don't know, 75 miles an hour maybe if I played some catch and got ready.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We have an interesting – the caller earlier today, and Joe and I thought this was an interesting thing. Not that it would ever happen, but it's for fodder, right? Uh-huh. So the Boston Red Sox need some pitching. The Pittsburgh Pirates need some hitting. The number one overall prospect is Roman Anthony. He's a hitter. He's like this high school kid who's – what is he now, 20 years old, whatever?
21.
He's
21.
And the Pirates have Bubba Chandler, who's the number one rated. Hypothetically, would you make that deal if it was one for one, knowing that each team needs something that the other team has?
I would, you know, give it some consideration. I mean, I don't know the scouting reports and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I would consider any trade.
Sure.
But I would want to know the minute details before signing off on something like that. But you know, I'm sure that's something that the Pirates are going to have to really consider, not only this year at the trading deadline, but going into next mm-hmm. season, how they can use what is kind of a surplus. It's not as big as a surplus.
Never have
as
enough
some people
pitcher.
Think.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I can see them make – oh, they did this year with Ortiz. You
right.
know, they traded him. They'll probably do something along those lines and get somebody back. I heard you guys talking on the radio as I was going to the store about you're wanting somebody that's more of a proven mm-hmm. guy than necessarily just somebody from like some team's double-A team or something
right.
like that.
Right.
I think that they would probably – if they're wanting to win, yeah, that's what you have to do. If you're a blow-it-up-and-rebuild-it thing, well, then you go for the the lower level guys. You can get more of them.
So, you can, but they're not
it depends on what your goal is, you know, for the rest of this year and next season of what kind of trade you're really looking for.
Bob Walk joining us for just a couple of minutes here. Don't want the milk.
The milk, the milk is getting
okay.
spoiled.
I kind of put a big blanket over in the back, so I think it's also
that's
kind of,
also old school.
It's insulated a little bit.
I do that too.
It's insulated a little bit.
Listen to this quote, Bob. And this is, we know Henry Davis, he's been playing a lot lately, mm-hmm. but he catches Skeens personally, really.
Yeah,
this
for
was
a while now, yeah.
Yeah, this was Kevin Gorman of the Trib interviewing Davis about Bubba Chandler. Davis says, I've seen a lot of good fastballs. He's got the best fastball I've ever seen. That's from Skeens' mm-hmm. guy. He says he's throwing it over 100. The analytics are phenomenal. He just kind of lulls you into it. Then it's lightning quick arm. If it's possible for 100 to play up, it does, says Davis. I could see Bubba having success in the big leagues throwing 70% fastballs. What do you make of that, Bob?
Well, for one thing, I throwing 70% fastball doesn't bother me at all. I think a lot of pitchers, way too many, get carried away with throwing too many different pitches. You know, oh, I got 7 pitches. Oh, who cares? You know, like you're going to use 2 or 3 of them every day. The fastball is, I mean, look at Falter, for instance. I mean, when he's really good, when he's got some of his best games, it's when he's throwing 70% fastballs. And he throws, what, 92, 93?
Yeah.
He's not even a hard thrower.
Locate it.
Yeah, so I have no problem with guys throw a ton of fastballs. If it's a good fastball and they have excellent command of it,
yeah.
then you can destroy a guy's timing with just, you know, in, out, up and down. At, you know, and if you're sitting from 98 to 101, which is probably where this guy sits,
yep, he does.
Then, you know, whatever you got, you don't really have to do a lot of other things. And if you throw a lot of fastballs and it's really good, like the type of fastball I was just talking about, you don't have to get swings and misses on it. You can get some lazy pop flies right. and some stuff like that and maybe get out of an inning where you only threw 7 pitches.
Yeah.
Hallelujah nowadays, because now you might be able to get an extra.
That's
you know,
right.
You might be able to go 7
Manager
instead of 6.
Say.
Yeah, so.
Pitch count.
So I'm, keep things on the simple side. And if it's working, if it's not broke, then don't fix it.
Bob, I have another question for
sure.
all of us.
All right.
Limits, I'd like you to weigh in here as well, although none of us have experienced this like Bob. All right, the Colorado Rockies are 9-50. 9-50. They're 3-28 on the road. They're off to the worst start in baseball history. So a question was posed. I think this is The Athletic. Would a good AAA team, if they came to the majors, be able to go 9-50? And if not a good AAA team, would a AAA all-star team be able to play in the majors? Like, if you took all the best players from AAA right now and you gave them 59 games in the majors, could they outdo the Rockies?
An all-star team, you know, like with a bunch of Bubba Chandlers and stuff?
Yes, yeah.
I would say for sure. Your run-of-the-mill AAA team, probably
your best AAA team.
Yeah.
Would they win a couple?
Oh, they would win, yeah. But I mean, would they be way better than the Rockies? You know, probably not. But an all-star team? Yeah, I would go for those guys because they're going to have a real strong starting rotation. You take the 5 best starters in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, right away, you're probably not going to be scoring a whole lot of runs against these guys. So I would say the all-star game, no doubt. But your average, no, there's too many 4A players on that team.
What do you do?
Because, you know, here's the thing that everybody doesn't realize with the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Each team has 2 or 3 guys that the parent teams thinks can help maybe make the big leagues nowadays.
Yeah.
Everybody else down there, is the only reason they're there is so that the prospects have somebody to play with.
Right. They've got to fill out a roster,
too. That's all they're there for. Now, and they don't realize who they are, you know, but the parent team does.
Right.
And every now and then somebody will pitch or hit their way out of that pigeonhole, but it doesn't happen very often.
What do you do if you're the manager of a 9-50 team? Your name's always brought up to be a manager. I was one of those things that he'd be a great manager. But what would you do if you're 9-50? I mean, how do you?
Well, if you're a young manager, then you know you just try and get better. If you're one of the older guys and it's 9-50, and it depends on a lot of other stuff that's going on. But as far as trying to get that team to be better.
Just develop.
You're probably not right. going to do it. Now, right. Like Donnie Kelly, for instance. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been around him since he's got the job. He is so full of energy. He's so positive. I mean, it's awesome. And I think I said Friday. He said what are you gonna ask him? What's gonna ask him? Yeah, I'm gonna say what are you doing? I mean, because it's kind of the same players that were here before, but there's a different vibe or something going on. I think with young. Just starting out managers, you got a chance to capture that. Older guys that have been around a long time, they're going to look at a situation and say, this is a mess.
I'll say.
By the way, it's interesting.
I can't believe that.
How bad this is. They have had 3 wins in the last month. Scottie Scheffler on the PGA Tour has won 3 events at the same time that Rockies have won 3 games.
He could probably beat them. You're talking about that.
Able to. Bob, we appreciate you stopping by. We really do. Yeah. That was nice of you to contribute to the boot and to stop by and contribute to the show. Thank you, sir.
It's my pleasure. No problem at all. Like I said, I was just up the road, and I was driving. Well, I actually heard you guys on the radio. And so then I'm like, oh, yeah, I think they're at the bank today. So then I was coming up the street here and looked over, and there you go.
There we are. You saw the boot. You saw the boot from there.
Is Zangrilli still here? Is he on the premises?
I saw him when I walked up. I don't know where he went.
Thank you, sir. Here's another gentleman just came in and put that in the boot. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's try to find Zangrilli. We'll try Zangrilli if we can find him, and we'll get him on the air here. Thanks to Bob Walk. We really appreciate that, Bob.
No problems at all.
We'll be talking soon. Stick around for lunch.
If I see Dan, I'll send him over.
Yeah, send him over.
As I'm walking to the car. Is he behind me?
The fan and the pirate.
Oh, yeah, he's over there.
He's getting some sun back there.
He's sunning out there?
I think so,
Really? Or is he kibitzing with the people around?
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those 3 listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.